Okay. Today is Thursday, April 11th, 2019. This is a Grand Canyon Oral History with Ann Hopkinson, H-O-P-K-I-N-S-O-N. This is a recording over the telephone. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Great. Ann, may we have your permission to record this interview over the telephone?
Yes.
Thank you. Ann, what year were you born?
1951.
Where were you born?
Pennsylvania.
What were your folks doing out there?
My father was an attorney.
Okay.
And my mother was not working at the time.
Did she have other children? Did you have other brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I was the fourth of four.
That's what your mom was doing. She was taking care of the
exactly.
kids. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. When you were growing up, did you spend a lot of time out of doors, or were you mostly indoors? What was your upbringing like?
A lot outdoors, yeah. We lived in the country. My grandmother lived across the field, and cousins all around. We kind of lived on a compound.
Okay.
It had been a larger farm kind of thing, and then it got split up to the younger generations. So we could ramble
nice.
All around. And there was creeks and fruit orchards and gardens and fields of corn and stuff like that. It was great.
Did you learn to swim then?
Yep. Spent hours swimming, yeah. My grandmother had an old swimming pool that we all took care of. And the whole neighborhood would go there. It was hot.
Nice. Did you get out and do any canoeing at all? Any boating?
Yeah, we did. My father had been, he'd gone on a trip when he was young up in Canada, and it was one of the best experiences of his life. And we went canoeing in New Jersey. And then when we went on vacations up in New England, we canoe on lakes and stuff. And then I went to day camp and overnight camp even, and always liked canoeing too because you got to do trips.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Tell me a little bit more.
And we were skiers too.
Ah.
That's actually how my parents met. So it was a family thing.
Where did they meet?
Well, they were both from Philadelphia, but back then it was before lifts, and
yeah,
they would go. Skiers would go and stay in farmhouses up in Vermont and skin up dough, and that's they. And they met. Someone just said, "Well, why don't you ride together?" And she was actually engaged to someone else, but
oh, do you remember roughly what year that was?
That they got married?
No, that they met.
I don't know when they met, but they got married right when, let's see, when didn't they get married? Early 40s, yeah.
Okay.
I think.
So that would put them on the slopes in the late 30s, early 40s, so they would have been in the pioneering ski community.
Yeah, they skied the seven turns of the nose dive at Stowe and the Tuckerman's Ravine.
Wow. Okay.
Stuff like that.
Okay. So very much out of doors. You mentioned a trip that your father took into Canada. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Afraid not.
Okay.
Being the youngest kid, you just don't get a lot of the details.
Okay.
He died when I was pretty young.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, yeah. I didn't Yeah, and he was a very stern guy, so it's not like he sat around telling stories and chatting.
Okay.
To the kids.
All right. And then in high school, as a high school senior, I'm assuming you finished high school, and what were you thinking about doing? I guess I should back up. Had you been out west yet by the time you graduated from high school?
Yeah, actually I spent my last year of high school in Steamboat Springs. I really wanted to ski race, and I had quite a privileged upbringing. And I went for 10th grade, I got to go to Switzerland for a year.
To ski?
And to be in school and learn French and ski, and yeah.
Wow.
Because I was desperately unhappy, I was like the last kid in the neighborhood and the family and everything. There was no one around. I was really unhappy there. And so they sent me to that school in Switzerland. And then my father died at the end of that year, and then I took care of my mother that next year. But I got to go away for my senior year and ski and steamboat. And there I became a racer.
Who were your instructors at Steamboat, and what year was that roughly?
That was 68 to 69. Loris Werner was my coach. He was the steamboat sprinter. I skied with a Steamboat Springs Winter Sports Club, and
can you spell his name, please?
Loris, L-O-R-I-S, Werner, W-E-R-N-E-R. He was Buddy Werner's brother, and Buddy was Olympic champ guy, and he got killed quite young. He's very famous, though.
Okay.
Back in the day, I think he got a bronze or maybe you got a gold, I forget.
Wow. Okay, so that's your senior year there in Steamboat. So that was the winter of 68-69.
Yes.
Okay. What were a couple of the recollections you have of that year in Steamboat?
It was incredibly great. It was a small private school, and we got to ski every day. And but it got kind of oppressive for the rest of the students because they were sort of trapped with a small group of people. But I was out with the town people. I had much broader circle.
Okay.
And I loved skiing and got to travel to all these ski races and so forth. So, yeah, I really had a wonderful time.
Nice.
And I was just blown away by all the powder and the fun, the incredible surroundings. Yeah. And I do remember there, they were building some kayaks. I didn't get involved, but a couple of the teachers were building kayaks then at the school.
Do you remember their names at all?
I think it was Paul Stettner, who's still up there, I think. And
how do you spell Paul's
Wayne?
Paul's last name?
P-A-U-L.
Yep.
Oh, S-T-E-T-T-N-E-R.
Thank you.
I'm not sure it was him, actually.
Okay.
And it might be Wayne Kaklo was in there helping him. I'm not sure.
How do you spell Wayne's last name?
K-A-K-E-L-A. He's dead, I know. He was a neighbor. He actually didn't work for the school at the time. And there was another guy, Dennis somebody, but I can't remember.
What do you remember about Wayne?
he was a like Santa Claus kind of physique. Very and really interesting guy. He lived in a very cool house with that had a very individual, homemade, original look. It was really fun to go to their place, and they took boarders, you know, skiers or such. They like had a dorm that they rented out beds out, and he was very outdoorsy and do-it-yourself, and knew a lot about science, and just a great guy. Yeah,
nice.
And later he did teach at the school after I left.
And so then you graduated in the spring then of 1969. Would that have been your high school graduation?
Yeah.
Okay. What were your future plans then? What were you thinking?
Then I went to Colorado College in Colorado Springs. I didn't have anything other than that.
Okay.
I was doing a lot of hitchhiking around and exploring the West, and you know.
Tell me more. So this is one of those sign language times when I'm spreading my arms wide, saying, "Tell me more, Ann."
Well, I guess maybe that wasn't until college, actually. Yeah. Did a lot. Yeah, I didn't have much money and just had fun.
Mm-hmm.
With my friends doing outdoor stuff.
Did you get into kayaking then, or was that a little later?
No, that was not till late after college.
Okay.
Because I met Fletcher, got together with Fletcher in college, and at the end of my college, and he was had been kayaking all his life. So.
Okay.
He wanted to share that.
Nice. Let's spend a little more time just in your college years. Did you go ahead and graduate from Colorado College there in Colorado Springs?
Yeah.
What'd you graduate in?
Anthropology.
Okay.
And I also, well, I did ski race there. I was on the team, and that was a big part of my life and social life, and it was. We had a great group on the team, and we were all really close and had tons of fun. No money, but we'd go around and crammed in old vehicles and get single hotel rooms, and 15 of us would fit in them.
Oh, that's fun. Who did you meet there that became lifelong friends?
Fletcher and Marilyn Crosetto, Jackie Metzger, J.R. Petit.
Can you spell these people's last names, please? Marilyn.
Let's see. Crosetto, C-R-O-S-E-T-T-O.
And then Jackie?
Jackie has, she spells her first name J-A-C-Q-U-I. And Metzger, M-E-T-Z-G-E-R.
Okay. And there was someone else too.
J-R, the letters Petit, P-A-T-E-E. Carl Taplin, T-A-P-L-I-N. Carl with a C.
Okay. And did you race on the Olympic or in the races? Were these like for nationals or?
It was the USSAA races, United States Ski Association, and they had A, B, C, and then also there was a college league. Sort of a second-rate college league. It was the CUB team and DUB team and CSU and UNM and Metro, or Mines, and a bunch of others.
Oh, the Colorado School of Mines?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that was part of it, and that's what we got funding for from school, but we also went to a lot of the A races. So.
Okay.
So not all of us went to the A race because we weren't all A's, but a smaller group of us went to those. So we got to travel all over the West and see all the ski areas. It was really
wow.
Neat. And a lot of times, well, for the downhills, we'd leave Wednesday. We'd leave Tuesday night or something.
Uh-huh.
We had to train. Yeah.
Huh.
But
did you? When was the first time you saw the Grand Canyon?
1972. The school I went to had a block plan for the courses. So you took one course at a time.
Okay.
For about a month. And my friend Marilyn and I took an independent study in anthropology where we hitchhiked around to sites in the Southwest.
Oh, wow.
And kept a journal and wrote a little paper about it.
Where did you go?
We went to, well, one of the places we went was the Grand Canyon, but we went to, let's see, where do we go?
Did you go to Chaco and Mesa Verde? I'm just going to throw out, you know, some of the...
No, we didn't actually go to that many archaeological sites. We hiked, we went to Canyonlands and hiked Salt Creek.
Yeah.
Which was I mean, it was, hardly anyone did it then.
Right.
There were no trail even. And we kept getting rimmed out. And we really didn't know what we were doing. I had never backpacked before, but that was my first backpacking trip.
How did you hear there were ancestral Puebloan houses and structures in there?
My friend Marilyn is an amazing planner. She pretty much planned the whole thing.
Okay.
And I just said, okay.
Nice.
So, and I know we went to the coral sand dunes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we were at Bluff. I remember hitchhiking there for 5 hours. Hyenta. Yeah, I could look at my journal, and I think I still have part of my journal there for that, but I'll have to look at that and get back to you.
Huh. And so then, so the Grand Canyon, did you come at it from the North Rim side or the South Rim side?
South.
Okay. What do you remember about that?
And we walked down Havasu.
Ah.
That also, that was a really amazing experience.
As a, yeah, someone studying anthropology, what was your take on that?
Well, it was just really cool to see the village. It's still, you know. It was pretty remote, but
mm-hmm.
And then we befriended a ranger there. Well, he kept spying on us, but we also got to be friends with him. And
do you remember his name?
No, but he told us all about the war between the Havasupai and the Hualapai, and showed us some ruins and things like that.
Was he a younger guy or an older guy?
Young. He was probably our age.
George.
Yeah, he was just George, after some girls.
George. I'm just going to put out a name here. George Billingsley.
I have no idea.
Doesn't ring a bell. Okay.
He was Havasupai.
Oh, he was Havasupai. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's not George.
Okay.
Nice. Could have been Victor Wadahamiji. No, that wouldn't be right. Well,
He probably wouldn't remember.
Me,
I don't know,
yeah.
Even if he was, but
what were,
yeah, maybe.
What were some of the other anthropological things that you saw that you did really moved you or really made you stand back and go, this is amazing?
I think mainly the ones that we saw in Salt Canyon, because I'd never even seen rock art before, so that was mind-blowing to see that. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. And do you remember any of your anthropology professors that you really admired?
I didn't admire any of them, actually. Okay. But I was pretty good friends with Mike Nowak.
How do you spell Mike's last name?
N-O-W-A-K.
Okay.
And Fletcher worked with him in the summer up in Alaska, and I went up. After Fletcher and I were together, we went up to Nunavak Island, where he had continued to do work. So, yeah, I got to know him quite well, and he's also a skier. And
okay.
So it all was a big family.
So how did you meet Fletcher then?
I met him at CC. He was a ski coach.
And his last name was Anderson?
Yeah.
Okay. How old was he at the time?
He's 3 years older than me, so I guess I met him my freshman year. I'm not sure if it was freshman or sophomore.
Okay. And so he was skiing too. Was he skiing the competition circuit?
Yeah.
And had he graduated from college by then?
Yes.
What did he graduate in?
Anthropology.
Ah.
And he was working as a TA in the anthropology department.
Okay. And so that's how he knew Mike Nowak.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mentioned going up to Alaska in the summer there to stay with Mike. Was that your first sort of major outing with Fletcher?
Well, I don't know what you mean by major, but
Well, let's back up again. Then, what sort of things did you and Fletcher do, besides ski together, outings wise?
Well, he wanted me to learn how to kayak, and so right after I graduated, we took tons of trips skiing, but right after we graduated, he took me down the San Juan River, and it was full flood. And it was raining like crazy at first. And you couldn't even put in at the normal place, or he couldn't find it or something.
Okay.
I just remember we put in at that little wash that crosses the highway. And all we had were these, the equipment back then was
What did
really
you
bad.
Have? Tell me about it.
I had an old wetsuit vest with the sleeves cut off that used to be his, so it was
okay.
on me. Homemade spray skirts made out of cloth, not wetsuit material. And you made your own dry, paddle jacket. So it was just like 60-40 nylon kind of stuff.
Uh-huh. So sort of splash jackets more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. And then you wore socks and old sneakers on your feet.
Yep. Did
I
you?
I forget. Oh, wool pant. Wool. Tried to wear wool. Cause
uh-huh.
Wool sweaters, that's what we wear underneath. Yeah. We get from the thrift shop. And
what were the lengths?
Wear wool pants.
So, I'm backing up. Going, wait a minute. The wash across by the highway, was that at Mexican Hat?
Bluff.
Okay.
Between Bluff and Sand Island.
Okay. All right. So put in at Bluff. And Was it just you and Fletcher in two kayaks?
Yeah.
And had you ever kayaked before?
I'd done a little. He took me up to Arkansas for a few minutes, but it was snowing, so it didn't last long. And maybe he'd been in the pool or something. I don't know, but I didn't know how to roll. I know that. I was terrified. And the boat was one that he'd had around the family, and his brother had used it and broken it in half and never paddled again. But it was basically this long cigar. Yeah.
So was it like a 4-meter boat kind of thing?
Yeah, not 4 meters. That's 4 centimeters. Oh yeah, it probably was
16
yeah.
foot.
Whatever they were back then.
Yeah.
12 feet were they? Or
well,
feet,
they were heading in that direction, but you know, in 1960 they were still 4 meter, and so this is 10 years
okay.
later. But I'm assuming you were in some old beater, so.
Yeah. And it was homemade, of course. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Fiberglass. Did it have a seat?
Yeah, they made a seat.
Okay.
But it was very loose for me, you know.
Yeah. So your job is just sort of balance.
Yeah.
Keep from going over.
Yeah, and he was there. It was really high, and he was having a ball surfing on the surf sand waves, and I was just like, ah! But it was really fun. I mean, we never saw anyone, and did all the cool hikes, of course. And yeah, it was great.
Fun.
I think we took out, we couldn't go to Clay Hills because the road was washed out because of all the rain.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So where did you take out?
So we went to Hovenweep instead.
Wow, paddled all the way?
Michigan. No, we just drove. In fact, that was another adventure. I don't know if you want to hear about it.
Yes, please.
There are two roads to Hovenweep. The one we took, I guess we were going at night, and we didn't notice that it was closed.
Oops.
And we came to a high point and then kind of slowed down, and then we just started sliding. We slid right into a river.
Wow.
A flooding wash.
Yeah.
And got stuck, and Got out and walked back. There was a trading post not too far away, within walking distance, and we woke them up, and they came out, and they said, well, we haven't seen anyone for 30 days on the road. And there's another guy that got his Jeep stuck in here, and since we had nothing to do, we dug it out and got it out, and well, we can rescue you with that.
Okay.
So they pulled us out, and we went back and went on the right, the road that was open.
So this wasn't to Paiute Farms. I'm getting.
No, this Paiute Farms wasn't there yet, as far as I know. This was Hovenweep, the ruin.
Yeah, and I'm.
Oh,
trying...
the name of the trading post, you mean?
Well,
yeah, I'm not sure.
Whether it was Olgeto, I'm just trying to figure out, once you passed Mexican Hat and headed down the San Juan, past...
Well, no, we didn't. We just got in the car after we got out at Mexican Hat.
Oh.
This was a car trip, yeah.
I'm sorry. So you went from Bluff to Mexican Hat.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then we had to take out there because there was no access after that.
Okay, thank you.
Road was closed. That one we heard.
And so you liked kayaking enough to then keep working on it?
Yeah.
Nice. Did you then...
And then we did more and more river trips. And it was really, really fun. And back then, you know, you just went. You didn't have to... get a permit.
Tell me, where did you go?
We must have gone. Well, we went a lot to. Let's see, Dinosaur. I think we went several trips there. Salmon, Maine salmon, middle and Maine.
Okay.
Up in Idaho. snake. We would go. We had family up in Jackson, so we went up there a lot.
Nice.
And up where I live now, we spend a lot of time around this area. Fletcher worked for Roger teaching at his kayak school. So.
Okay, so I definitely want to know about him, but let's back up a bit here. Did you finally then learn how to roll in a swimming pool under practice, or how did that work for you?
I learned, my roll came and went throughout my kayaking career.
Okay.
And I've used to practice at the Boulder Reservoir a lot.
Oh, okay.
And, I had pool sessions and stuff all throughout my kayaking.
Okay. And on these river trips, the Dinosaur, the Middle and Main, Salmon, the Snake, was it just you and Fletcher, or did other people join you?
Other people.
And who of those people do you remember with fondness going, yeah, we met so-and-so, and that was really great?
Mike Crenshaw.
How do you spell Mike's last name?
C-R-E-N-S-H-A-W.
Okay.
Fletcher's brother, Nick Anderson, and his wife, Wendy Morgan, went on some. That was in the 70s. We did a lot of racing, and there was a community of racers that we'd meet every weekend and set up the gates and race different rivers in Colorado. And
we became
good friends with a lot of those and did trips and stuff.
So this would be slalom racing, where gates would be hung out over the water, and
right.
Your job in the kayak was to go through the gates without touching them, from gate to gate to gate. Did you guys swing up your own gates out over the river from tree to tree and try to work those out, or was somebody else doing that?
We did it.
Okay.
And those people, there was Lori Walters, Tom Ruich, the Thorpes, Peanut, and forget her husband's first name. Denny Emery, he's from Jackson. He'd drive all the way down from Jackson every weekend. Lamar Sims.
Was Roger
Barry Lacy?
Okay,
who's still the guy that you probably heard of him? Yeah, he does a lot of the whitewater parks now.
Okay.
Scott Randolph. We also did wildwater. We do two the slalom and wildwater every weekend.
Okay, so wildwater. That terminology at the time was simply for long distance paddling, is that right?
No.
No?
It was for, the races would be about 5 miles long, usually. And they still have it. It's an event that hasn't changed particularly. The boats are very long.
Okay.
The boats are, I guess, 14 feet long. And U-shaped bottom, narrow. And hard to turn.
Yep.
No rocker. And they're just for going fast through the rapids.
Okay. Let's back up a little bit and go through some spellings, if you don't mind. You mentioned Lori Walters.
Yeah.
Is that L-A-U-R-I-E-W-A-L-T-E-R-S?
Yes.
And then you mentioned Tom. What's Tom's last name?
Ruich, R-U-W-I-T-C-H.
And then the Thorpes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I can't remember his first name. And then Peter Loram, L-O-O-R-A-M. He's in Aspen.
And then, so Thorpe is probably T-H-O-R-P-S for Peanut
no,
and her husband?
Singular, no S.
Okay.
T-H-O-R-P-E.
O-R-P-E, thank you. And then...
there was a newsletter from the Colorado Whitewater Association.
Hmm.
Fletcher wrote it. It was called The Spray.
Okay, yes.
And it would have a lot of those names and results, probably.
Okay.
And issues at the time. I don't know if you could track it down, but...
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be available somewhere. Denny Emery, E-M-E-R-Y?
I think it's O-R, but I'm not positive.
Okay, E-M-O-R-Y. And Lamar Sims, is that S-I-M-S?
Two M's, I think.
Thank you. And then Gary Lacey?
L-A-C-Y.
Great. And Scott Randolph?
R-A-N-D-O-L-P-H.
Great.
So there's probably more.
Yeah, no,
I
bet there are. At the time, so the FIBARC race, the first in boating of the Arkansas, started in 1849. It would have been going now in its almost 30th year by 1979. But what other races were happening that you were competing for at the time? Do you remember?
Well, we had one in Buena Vista at the numbers. We had one on the blue at Silver Thorn.
Okay.
And we had one on the Pooter.
Wow.
And there's one down in New Mexico. I never went to that one. On Pilar.
Okay.
Where else? There's one here in Atchishoni. There's one at CRMS on the Crystal. Let's see. Oh, up in Aspen at Snowmass. Well, that run below Slaughterhouse, Wood Creek run, or... Toothache.
Up on the Roaring Fork?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then I'm assuming along the way...
Oh, Eric did those. Eric did those too, I think. Eric Leaper did some of those.
Okay. Yeah. And that's L-E-A-P-E-R?
Yeah.
And you mentioned Roger Paris.
Yeah.
When did you first meet Roger?
In the 70s, when we were living in Boulder. Fletcher came, I would come up here in the summers and teach for him. He had a kayak school out of Colorado Rocky Mountain School that ran in the summers.
Okay.
And I took the class once or twice. With Rosé.
What do you remember about him?
He was very much attached to being out in nature, and that's where he was happiest, and that's what his life was all about.
Okay.
And he, yeah, I did lots of mountaineering with him and did the Grand with him several times. And we did, paddled on the Roaring Fork and Crystal and stuff together. And
nice.
Lots of hiking. Just, he was very strong, tough as could be, and always loving being out there.
Nice. Did you had learned French in high school. Did you speak French with him? Did you two?
No, I was too embarrassed.
Okay. What were his thoughts on recreation and just the outdoors in general? Did you have an idea of that?
Thought it was important, but he was all for saving the environment and he was not one to coddle people that weren't keeping up. He just expected people to be as tough as he was.
Okay.
And so it wasn't always a good situation for beginners or people that were, not fit.
Okay. You mentioned that you'd gone through the Grand Canyon a couple times with him.
Yeah.
Can you recall your first Grand Canyon river trip?
Yep.
What
year
was that?
1975. I was still a beginner and didn't know how to roll. And Fletcher got invited to be in a movie, or he was hired to be in a movie called The Edge that involved six sports and explored why athletes push it to the edge kind of thing.
Okay.
So the movie paid, brought us on this trip, and they wanted me to go too. I looked enough like it also had a story with an actor and an actress.
Okay.
I looked enough like the actress that when I was in a kayak that they could intercut it.
Okay.
So it worked out that they could, pretend she was learning how to kayak.
Who else was on the trip? Do you remember?
Yeah. Roger Brown was the director. Barry Corbett was the editor. He was a paraplegic, but we brought him, and he became a very close friend.
Nice.
The sound man was, can't remember his name. And then there were some other kayakers, Will Evans, Will Perry, and then the rest of the people were, Walt Blackadar, sorry.
Okay.
He was the other main kayaker. And they played Fletcher and Walt off against each other to make it more interesting, because they had very different philosophies about how to paddle.
Can you go into that a little bit?
Fletcher was all about good form, being clean and elegant as you paddled through a rapid, taking a really good line, reading the water well, just doing it with working to perfection like a racer does,
Nice.
To do a beautiful run and not tip over and turn into eddies really cleanly, things like that, and surf and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Walt, it was more like conquering nature. He had a huge blade, and he'd just go into the rapids and get knocked over and hold his breath and roll up and consider it that he'd conquered the rapid.
Interesting. Okay.
And he was all into self-promotion, too. And that he'd run this and that because no one,
Right.
But in Fletcher's opinion, he hadn't really run it. He hadn't done it well.
Okay.
So it irked Fletcher that he was getting all this notoriety for floating through and tipping over and rolling back up.
Yeah, if you sort of do a submarine run, you know, I can appreciate that. Huh, interesting. And so did they kind of sort things out on that river trip, or did they part ways still each?
They continued to have some disagreements, certainly, but we later went on a, he got invited on a salmon trip with Walt and his family, and mostly that was because Barry became close to Walt, and we were close with Barry, so. But I know Fletcher continued to be pretty irritated by Walt, but I liked him. He was a blowhard and full of himself, but he mm-hmm. had a very warm heart and meant well, and I could overlook the things that bothered me about him.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm sorry, remind me of Barry's last name again.
Corbett, Corbett.
Thank you.
He was on the first American expedition up Everest before he was hurt and became a paraplegic.
Okay.
And so we had, after that trip, we got him into kayaking. We made a special seat for him and took him on a bunch of easy rivers and stuff so he could get in the outdoors again. It was pretty neat.
Nice. That must have been just really golden. So other people on that trip, do you remember who the crew members were? This is the 1975
yeah.
Grand Canyon trip.
Stanley Boer.
Spelled last name?
B-O-O-R.
Thank you.
Mark Jenkins.
Okay.
And I saw both of those guys recently.
Nice.
We had a little reunion. Whale.
Kurt Hansen.
I don't know. He's dead now?
Yes.
Yeah, that must have been him. And Brian. I think Brian Dierker was, too.
Uh-huh, okay.
I'm not sure, though. Maybe we met him later. I can't remember.
Nice. And who was the commercial company?
Oh, and who's the photographer? No, Bart Henderson. Is
okay.
it Henderson?
It could be,
yeah,
yep.
Bart Henderson, yeah.
Do you remember the name of the commercial company?
I'm trying to think. No, can't remember which one it was.
Okay.
Oh, Ron Hayes, that's right. Ron Hayes was the company owner. He was there. But I don't remember the name of the company.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so that was 1975. What else?
After that, we became friends with all those boatmen on that trip, and they kept inviting us to be swampers.
Okay.
On other trips. So we got to do a whole bunch of Grand Canyon trips after that because we could run safety. And they were trying to run their numbers up because they were still in the process of allocating user days to commercial raft companies.
Right.
So they wanted to jack them up, and they were fine with, giving these kayakers little, jobs. We didn't have to work very hard. We just did the toilet and helped around the kitchen and stuff. And, and helped with safety if rafts slipped and got free trips. It was great.
Okay. So by this time, the history of kayaking in Grand Canyon was was really, really sort of new, but kayaking elsewhere was really strong and had a long history. So I'm assuming you guys brought, well, certainly Fletcher, and of course Blackadar, brought some real strong strengths into that trip. I'm thinking specifically of rapids like Lava Falls, and my running assumption was Blackadar would have gone right down the middle. Where would Fletcher have run lava?
Everyone ran it to the right of the ledge hole.
Okay.
Through the big waves and the left of the Great Cheese Grater Rock, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I think, yeah, that's, and it was higher then, so that was pretty much the clearest run, yeah.
Okay.
Although actually Will Evans ran it on the left and fell into the pour over on the left.
Oh. There is a tight left run over there.
Yeah, well, he was trying to find his center. And he kept trying to close his eyes while he was paddling. And
huh. Okay.
And he basically traveled through the rapid with his bow vertical, his boat vertical, and then he went over the pour over.
I see. Okay, so we're not going to blame the rapid for that.
No. Yeah.
Okay. It's just amazing. Nice. Had you met Walter Kirschbaum by then?
I never met him.
Okay, so he had passed away before?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Had you heard stories of Walter?
Yeah, Fletcher liked to talk about him.
What would he say?
He meant a lot to Fletcher.
Yes, because
he said he was a tortured soul. That he'd been a Nazi, and he never could. The only time he felt at peace was on the rivers. But he took Fletcher on a lot of his trips. He wanted to run every river in the Colorado drainage.
Mm.
He ran Gore. He was the first guy to run Gore, I think. And a bunch of, yeah, and just go off by himself a lot and run these rivers. And he said, I don't know if it's true, he said he drowned in a bathtub after all that.
Yeah.
But he had a drinking problem. And he said he ended up with his boat, and he donated it to the museum on the South Rim. Apparently.
Yes.
Some museum, yeah.
And it's still there today, yeah. In great shape, carefully cared for, right next to Alexander Grant's Escalante Fold Boat and Leslie Jones' aluminum ore-powered scull, I guess you could call it. And then there's two little kayaks in there. There's a Jackson and a Prion in there. So.
And where is this museum? I've never seen it.
This is at the South Rim. We'll talk later. I'll make a note. If you come through Flagstaff, we'll
okay.
We'll see if we can make an appointment and go see those boats. It's a lot of fun.
Okay.
But yeah. So and I think it's kind of well known that that Walter was an amazing boater, but had his demons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Fletcher wrote a piece to go with a boat, but I'm not sure.
He did, and there is some material there, which is really good. And of course, Walter had written up that trip as well, and so his recollections are there too. Nice. What more can you tell me about Roger? And again, you recently, I think yesterday, just alerted me to the fact that Roger has just passed away.
He came over to Fibark, you know, they bring two Europeans to race that are big names every year, or they used to, and he was one of them. He was one of the top canoeists. I think he was in a C2 and did the race, and that's how he first came over here. And I think I don't know if he stayed or came back or whatever, but he was on the canoe, whitewater canoe team.
Who was his partner? Who do you know who he raced with?
No, I don't.
Okay. And then did he get into kayaking after he came over? Because I know by the mid-60s, he was racing. Well, he was winning Fibark. He was winning the downstream run.
He may have already known how to kayak when he was canoeing. I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
But, yeah, he used to still race when we were doing it over there. He'd come over. Sometimes he'd camp with us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he's very, very competitive. He was... Even when you went for a hike with him, you always had to be first.
Huh.
But it was fun. I mean, we just laughed about it.
Uh-huh.
Teased him and stuff. And he was definitely clearly out for himself, but he knew it, so you just accepted that about him, you know.
Okay.
He was not the type of guy that was going to sacrifice himself to save you or anything.
Yeah, very much so. In the competition, I mean, he was all about winning.
Yeah, but even when you were just doing expeditions with him, you kind of knew he wasn't going to go out of his way to help you particularly.
Okay.
He was always competitive, but since you knew it, but that did cause him to lose some friends. I know.
Okay.
And he was lived very frugally.
Okay.
He would always go on the trips and, oh, I'll bring my own food. And then he'd offer him leftovers and he'd chow down heavily.
Okay.
stuff like that. But it was always amusing. It's not like I cared, you know.
Yeah.
I really love the guy.
Yeah, you mentioned...
So inspiring to be out there with him, and he was just knew where he was going and wanted to see something new and always wanted to go around the next bend and explore and just a little bit, you know. It was really fun. And just, God, he was just so strong, even to the end.
Nice.
He used to go to Baja in the spring, or fall, by himself, in a wildwater boat, and take like a spear and two or three gallons of water, and just, that's all he'd take. And he'd go for a couple weeks, paddle out in the ocean, go to these little islands. Unbelievable.
And just
kept inviting me. I said, that's a little hardcore for me.
You live off fish. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. When was the last time he did that? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Okay. Fun.
But every time we kept going, there were a few, let's see, around 2000-ish, did a couple years, we did Grand Canyon trips that were really small, five people and then six people, and he was one of them. And he kept saying, oh, this is probably the last year I get to go. And I guess he was in his 70s or 80s then, 70s probably. He always lied about his age so he could get jobs. Because he worked for Club Med for a while, and they wouldn't hire you if you were too old.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What else about Roger comes to mind?
Yeah, I had something I was going to tell you, and I slipped my mind, I think.
You know, we've been happily chatting away here for about an hour, and maybe this is a good time to end part one.
Okay.
And we'll pick this back up again. Does that sound...
Sure.
Sound
if
good?
You want to tell me what... I mean, I could sort of try and look at some things to jog my memory if you want... If you're going to say what you're going to
talk about. We'll talk in a minute. Hold the line for a minute. So today is Thursday, April 11th, 2019. This completes part one of Grand Canyon Oral History with Ann Hopkinson. And my name is Tom Martin. Ann, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.